This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17 and verse 11. Luke, chapter 17, verse 11.
Luke, chapter 17, verse 11 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again for the privilege of being able to assemble together in your house. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that we're two or three gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. Lord, may we never take your presence for granted. Lord, we thank you, and it's a blessing, and we praise you, Lord, that you are in our midst. I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth, and that you would speak to us and guide us, Lord, in your will and in your way for your honor and glory and our blessing. Meet each need here this morning. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Returning to Give Praise and Glory to God. Returning to Give Praise and Glory to God. Several interesting topics can be found here in our text here this morning. And we consider here, we find these 10 lepers, and that's really kind of a picture of the fruit of sin. They didn't do that to themselves. They had contracted this disease from what specific situation, we don't know. But obviously it was an unwanted thing, and yet they have this disease and they're unable to help themselves. And that's what sin is, really. We are born in sin and unable to help ourselves. But praise the Lord, there's a Savior who came to remove all of our sins from us. And so we do thank the Lord for that. And we find this kind of a parallel here in their lives. But, you know, the abundance and the power of God can overcome and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and present us faultless before the Lord one day. And we don't want to take that for granted. And secondly, we can also consider this, that we can see that Christ must come before the ceremonial law, and then can come the law. And we'll get into that here in just a little bit, and you'll see what's going on here. That's when he asked them to present themselves before the priest. So first comes really the work of grace, and then the outward manifestation and the showing of the work of God that has transpired and taking place in our lives. We also can see the Lord's tenderness for outcasts. How many people would want to go anywhere near any kind of a leper, right? Especially during that time and day and age. And by the way, we have a lot to praise the Lord for in the day and age in which you and I live. If you have a family that loves you, that is a God-given institution. It was God that created the institution of marriage and of family. And let me ask you this. How often, you don't have to answer, don't answer this, how often do we stop and say, praise you, God, for a family that I love and that loves me and that cares about me? Praise you, God, for creating our bodies where my heart is functioning, where my lungs are functioning. He's the creator, is he not? Did he make our bodies? And yet there's so many things that we can praise the Lord for that we can just stop and say, praise God for his mercy and his goodness and all that he has provided and all that he has given. So as we consider this here, one of the things to consider is the Lord's tenderness and kindness for outcasts. And by the way, each and every one of us have been outcasts before salvation from the family of God. But it was a tenderness and mercy of the grace of God that drew us into his way and called us unto himself, that we might have the distance taken away between us and the Lord and brought into the wonderful family of God. Amen? And so that is a blessing. As we consider this, these 10 lepers had to perform an act of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before they had any outward evidence that Jesus had performed an outward changing of life or a miracle in their own lives. And we'll see that here in just a moment. So again, before they felt that their blood was cleansed, and that's leprosy has a lot to do with that, and their skin was cleansed. And by the way, like a brand new baby. Can you imagine that? There they were. I wondered if they ever thought they would get rid of this leprosy or if they were going to end up dying, which many people did die with it. And now all of a sudden, everything had been turned around and their flesh had been made whole, brand new, like a brand new baby. That's how the Lord heals. When he heals through and through and completely. And so here's their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God heals them. The Lord Jesus Christ asks sinners to believe in him and trust their souls to him, even though they may not discern any work of grace in themselves at the moment. That is the step of faith before God works. So the Lord really wants us to believe in him just as we are, and then he will bring the change into our life. Hold your place right here, and we'll be right back here. But let me just invite you over to the book of Ephesians just for a moment, chapter 5. Even for the saved child of God, everything that we do has to be done by faith if it's going to honor and glorify the Lord. And I want you to see something here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Notice this, he says, and he's speaking to believers, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. So he's given a command, he's given direction. He says, this is what I want you to do. He says, awake, awake therefore thou that sleepest. Why? And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In other words, I want you to awake. I want you to realize. I want you to be aware of something and move towards the Lord. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will give you what? Life. He will give you life. So we move to the Lord, and he's the one that works. But that's a step of faith, right? We could just sit there and stay there and say, well, I don't feel any difference. The lepers could have done the same thing. Look at my leprosy. I know what the Lord's told me to do, but I don't see anything happening to my leprosy. So why should I go? So that's the step of faith. Let's go back to our text there over in the book of Luke, and we'll look more into that here as we get into our text. And I want you to see what's taking place here. Some people could say, well, you know, I could trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior if I felt this or that. You ever hear people say that? If I felt this, or if I felt more sorry for my sin, or if I felt really I was that bad of a person. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm not that bad of a person. But if I felt I was a worse person, then maybe I might be able to trust the Lord. Well, that makes a God out of our feelings and not out of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, the Bible tells us that there are none righteous, no, not one. We don't have to feel like that. It's the truth of the matter, whether we feel like it or not. And so we don't want to make a God out of our feelings or a Savior out of our inner griefs, how we feel and what we think. Can your own heart save you by its dark resistance against the love of God? No, it can't. It's the love of God that cleanses. It's the love of God that changes our life. So let's back up here to verse 11 here of chapter 17, and let's look at the Lord's passage here. And by the way, the Lord is passing through us here this morning as well, through his word. And so the Lord, is the Lord's presence here this morning? Absolutely. Is the Lord's power here this morning? And can it change our lives? And if it does change our lives, should we not praise him for that? Absolutely we should. So notice here the Lord's passage in verse 11. It says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And remember, to the Jews, a lot of them would go the long way around. They didn't want to go through Samaria because they were half Jew, half Gentile, and they really had no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus Christ goes right where he's needed every time. And by the way, he's needed in our room here, in our sanctuary this morning. coming, that we might be drawn closer to him, that we might understand him in a greater way, and his mercy and his love toward you and I, that he might give us also a song in our hearts and minds and praise on our lips for all his goodness and mercy to each and every one of us. So here we have the Lord's passing through that way. And then notice the leper's distance here in verse 12. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And rightly so, right? They were told, they were taught that they were unclean. They were not allowed to get close to anybody. But listen, not only were they distanced because of their own disease, but then they were also distanced from the Lord because of their own sin nature. And that's also what drew a distance between the Lord and you and I as well, until he came in and extended his hand and said, come unto me, right? Who does he accept? He accepts everybody, doesn't he? Who does he reject? He rejects no one. If all that are willing would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they would experience the love and the mercy of God. And so there is a distance, but by the way, they were aware of their life-altering condition. My goodness, if they have leprosy, they know it, don't they? And it's important for you and I to also know what separates us from our God, that we might be healed by him and cleansed by him and empowered to draw near unto the Lord. So look at verse 13, and I want you to see, this is important, the lepers' unified cry. And this is important because they were all involved in seeking the Lord. They didn't have one spokesperson. They were all involved. No doubt they had heard about the Lord. No doubt they heard that he was healing people, and they had enough faith to believe that he could cleanse and heal their physical bodies. That's what they were focused in on, and we'll see that here in just a moment. So verse 13, notice what it says here. And they, that's all of them, and they lifted up their voices, plural, right? They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. They all cried out. They all wanted healing from the Lord. So, again, this truth here is that all the lepers prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ for this healing. But I want you to think about something. Prayer is for time. Prayer is for time. Do you know what's going on now in eternity? Praise. Praise is in eternity. How long will praise be going on in eternity? Forever. What, my goodness, what in the world do the people in heaven have to praise the Lord for? Everything and many things. How about you and I on planet Earth? How many things do you and I have? Do they have more to praise God for than you and I have? So should we be praying more than praising? Or should we be praising the Lord more even, or at least the same amount as we pray? But how oftentimes we pray and then we get an answer and there's no praise. We just kind of move on with life. There was a story told back in the 1800s where there was a ship and there was several people on there, and of course the whole crew, and they thought they were going to be done with. And so there was a preacher that was on there, and they were all praying for deliverance. They thought the ship was going to be broken in two. It was going to be the end of them. And then all of a sudden the storm stopped. You know what they did? They went about their business, and there was not one person, the pastor said, that prayed, that stopped and said, thank you, God, for answering our prayers. Praise you, God, for your mercy and your benevolence toward everyone on this ship that was about to be destroyed. Praise you, God, that you and I live in America. Do we take that for granted? Do you know you could have been born in Iran? Who would want to live there, right? Where their regime is basically destroying their own people for petitioning their grievances against what their government is doing, and people are being slaughtered and killed for just speak. You and I have the freedom to speak and say, I don't agree with this, or I do agree with that. We take that for granted if we're not careful. Do you know America initially was founded for the glory of God? They were coming over here that they might worship the Lord as they felt free to do. And we ought not to take that for granted. So how many things do you and I have to praise the Lord about? And then I'm just asking between you and the Lord. See, listen, God is here to help the sick. If there was a doctor and I had an illness and he could help me with it, And I would say, you know, doc, I've got this illness that I know you can do the surgery and fix me up. But, you know, I'm going to wait till I get a little bit better. And then I'll come. And then I'm going to wait until maybe I don't need you. And then I'll be all right. Right. The surgeon would say, you're out of your mind. Right. What's the matter with you? You don't want to wait. You want to come and take care of the problem. And so likewise, if we're not careful, we end up saying, I don't have any needs in my life. And yet the truth of the matter is, should you and I not have a heart to praise our great God if he's our God, our great King if he's our King? The Bible says that glorifies the Lord to praise his name. And that's a good thing to do. Do you know, listen, that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And if you make a mistake in life, and maybe you say something that you said, oh, I wish I didn't say. Anybody ever do that here? Oh, I wish I would have never said that. And then I don't know if you've ever mulled things over in your heart and in your mind. And the devil loves to get in there and says, oh, you shouldn't have said this. You shouldn't have done that. Or they should have said this and they should have done that. And this whole thing may have not ever happened if you would have done this or that and the other. Or if they would have done this, that and the other. And you could lose sleep over that, couldn't you? Couldn't you? Have you ever lost sleep over maybe something that you said or did or somebody else said or did? Well, how do we overcome that? See, the devil loves to play that record over and over again, over and over again. And he says, you know what? If you could have changed that in the past. Well, we can't, can we? So what should we do if the devil starts writing, playing that old record, right? We call it a broken record. It just keeps repeating itself. Cut a new record. Cut a new record of praise to our God. Our God has forgiven us for how many of our sins? Does the Lord hold us in his hands? Does the Lord ever let us go? Will the Lord see us all the way home? How many things can we praise the Lord? Can we praise the Lord even for the crazy weather that we're having? It's sunshining today. Amen? I mean, praise the Lord. It is sunshining, right? Let's not take the little things for granted that God holds in his hands. Does he not hold everything in his hands? Can we even thank the Lord for holding us in his hands? And all of the situations that come up in our life, he always still holds us in his hand. So do you and I have cause to praise the Lord? It's good to do the ceremonial thing. It's good, listen, it's good to come to the house of God and worship the Lord. But is that the last we have to do with the Lord throughout the week? Do we? And by the way, listen, not just reading the Word of God, but what we're reading in the Word of God compelling us and driving us to stop and praise the name of God and bring glory to his name? See, that's the important part. Is God working in us to where we are, that's worship, right? Where we are praising the name of our great King, our great Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that he has indwelt us with. And so we praise the Lord for that, or should be praising the Lord. And God wants to remind us, listen, don't allow your prayer to be more than your praise. Because what's happening is if we're praying more than we're praising, we're not thanking God for the answers that he's given to us and for the blessings, the innumerable blessings that he has bestowed in our lives already. They may not be prayer requests that are answered, but we are bestowed with many of the benefits that God has given to us. You'll find that there in the book of Psalms many times, that we praise the Lord because of the benefits that he has given to us in our lives. So, here, as we look at this, we find their unified cry, and they're crying out to the Lord, and the Lord's stopping, and he's saying, "Hey, listen, I'm concerned about you. I care about you." And notice what happens right here when we consider verse 13 again. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Do you know what prayer is? It is a tool that one uses that's a beggar. Is it a shameful thing to be a beggar before the Lord for him? Because listen, do you know why? You know why we beg the Lord? Because we don't have the means that he has. What he has for us, you can't get on your own. You see people begging on the side of the road because maybe they can't help themselves or they can't work for themselves or whatever the case might be. But that they're doing that, or if they really should be doing it honestly, and some may not be doing it honestly, but they're doing it because they can't get what they have need of. And so they're asking somebody else that has it. And the Lord has, I would dare say, many things that every child of God needs. And how will you and I get those things from the Lord unless we ask Him? And that's what we're doing. I don't think it's a shameful thing to go to the throne of God and say, Lord, I need you in my life. I need your peace. I need your joy. I need your love and your compassion. I need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us can do that on our own? Not a one of us. We talked about crucifying the flesh. How many of us can crucify the flesh on our own? Can you die to yourself on your own? You'll never do it. You'll never do it. That's the work of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit sets us apart for the honor and glory of the Lord. We won't get anywhere without the Lord in that. And so we should seek the Lord in that, and then we can praise Him in that as well. So notice here, when we consider that prayer is really for a beggar, but a man, listen, really, is a poor beggar if he does not give praise when he receives gifts. Can you imagine? Here's a beggar on the street, and then he gets something, and he doesn't even say thank you. Wouldn't praise be thank you? Be a thank you? And I think I told you this story. It's only happened to me once, but it really floored me. There is this fella. I mean, it was sleeting outside, and it was cold. And we took him to a hotel, a little inexpensive hotel that he wanted to go to. And it was probably about a good 10, 15 miles away from where he was at. So we drove him. And on the way, I had Brother Norman Merrick come with me. I didn't want to go by myself, and he said he'd come with me. And Norman Merrick brought out like different kinds of sodas and snack cakes. He put it in a Walmart bag, and he sat in the front. The fellow sat in the back, and he said, "Here, I brought you something, right?" And I thought everything is good, everything is all good, and I never heard anything from him. But just a few moments later, I saw between my head and his head the fellow say, "I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this." Not one thank you. Not one thank you for thinking of me to give me what I profess to say I don't have. And can't you and I do the same thing if we don't stop to thank the Lord and to praise Him for all of His goodness? All we know, if we're not careful, naturally to do is to ask. But we should stop and say, thank you, God. Thank you and praise you for what you've done in my life. Look at verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, and here's the step of faith, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were healed. Notice what he said. Listen, did the Lord say, I'm going to heal you of your leprosy? No. He did not say that. Listen to what he said. And when he saw them, remember they're crying out, have mercy on us, Master. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. That's the step of faith. They're not cleansed. They are not cleansed. They're looking at themselves. The leprosy is still there. By faith, they have to follow the Lord's direction. And they do follow the Lord's direction. Notice again, verse 14. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. That's the ceremonial law. That was important. In fact, Jesus commanded it. He told them, that's what I want you to do. So he commanded it, and that's important. And so he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, what happened? They were cleansed. As they obeyed by faith. Again, remember, they're looking at themselves and they're saying, go show myself to the priest for what? Because Jesus said to. And I believe in him. They believed in him for a physical cleansing. And because they did, they were cleansed. And so they go. And notice verse 15 here. And this is the one leper that glorified the Lord. Verse 15 and 16 says this. And when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a what? Loud voice glorified God. And notice where he's at. And he fell down where? On his face, at his feet, saying, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Did you see that position where he's at? That's so important. Is God worthy, I mean, of our praise like that? Should we find a place where we can humble ourselves before the throne of God? So his heart was full of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, was it not? His heart was full. This is the difference between looking at ourselves and looking at God. This is really true love for Jesus Christ. The leper was one of ten when he was a leper. But he's all alone now when he's returning to give praise and glory to God. He's all alone now. See, you can sin in company and you can even go to hell in company. People do it all the time. But when you obtain salvation, you come to Jesus all alone when you come to salvation. When you see you're saved, you'll be glad to praise God. And by the way, with others, if they join with you. But if they don't join, you're happy to sing a solo of gratitude unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, are we not? I will sing solo, O God. I don't care. Listen. I will sing and praise your holy name because of who you are to George Jangel personally. And God's wanting to mean that to each and every one of us personally. And if that's not the case, then we need to come before the Lord and say, God, give me a heart of praise, of love, and adoration for who you are. And again, now we come back to this order of priority. Jesus Christ came first in this heart and mind. Remember, he was commanded by the Lord to go to the priests. But something happened. Something happened. He goes, and as they were all going, they were all healed. You're going to see something here in just a moment. This man got salvation. The other ones just got what they were after, and they quickly forgot about who the Lord was. They thought no more of him. They never came back. We were not told if they ever came back, and I would dare say they didn't come back. The Lord said, only this one Samaritan came. So he was healed, and he's thanking the Lord. He's taking care of this other responsibility he felt that was more important than the first one, and it was. We'll see that here in just a moment. He would bow before the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he would present himself to a lesser priest, a human priest. You see what he's doing? So watch what's happening here. Again, verse 15. And when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And with a loud voice, glorified the Lord. Do you think he had something real with the Lord Jesus Christ? Question, do you think he had something more than the others had? They forgot him. They forgot about the Lord. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, a despised individual, a humbled individual, one who'd been rejected and understood rejection by the Jews, right? And so he's in a good place in his heart and mind. And Jesus answering, notice verse 17, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I want you to know the Lord expected them to come back. I want you to know the Lord expected them to stop what they were doing and come and worship the Son of God before going to the lesser priest. But they did not do that. You know why? Because they got what they were after and no more. They got what they were after. They were happy to do the ceremonial thing. They were happy to receive the gratification of the cleansing of their body. But there was no relationship really for the Lord. No relationship for God himself. So, I want you to see something here as we consider this. Something here about this one man that came back to the Lord Jesus Christ about his thankfulness, and that is his silence when it comes to censuring others. You know, our flesh is a very horrible thing. It's a very nasty thing. And it likes to tear down people, and the flesh thinks you build yourself up that way. By tearing down. Can you believe this? Can you believe what this person did? You know what we're doing? We're making big of ourselves. But the Lord doesn't see it that way. The Lord sees that as what? Pride. and unkindness. Does he see that as love? Who's the accuser of the brethren? Is it our place to judge another brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that our place? No. Whose place is that? It's God's place. Oh, so when we do that, are we taking God's place? Yeah, we are, aren't we? If we start criticizing other people, we're judging them. Are we their judge? No. Do we not need the same mercy that other people need? Absolutely, we need the same mercy. Question, do we want the same mercy? Because will we not all stand before the Lord one day? And how many of us have a right to stand before the Lord? It will be by the mercy and grace of God that anyone stands. Because we're all guilty. And we're all unclean. And that's a healthy outlook, really, to see. Because it brings us into the place of adoration and love for what God has done and is doing and will do, ultimately, when we stand before Him. So notice again here, verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Who's he speaking to? The man that is at his, on his face at the Lord's feet. He's talking to him. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And you don't hear a word. He never says a word. You know why? Because he was humble. He himself was cleansed by the mercy and the grace of God. He had no right to accuse anybody else. You know what he was thankful for? He was the one that came back. See, when you and I have a love for God, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It especially doesn't matter if they're doing wrong. Are we going to fix anybody by pointing out other people's flaws and faults? Are we going to fix them? Not at all. Who's the one that fixes us? The Lord. So what are we doing? He says not a word. He could have said, yeah, can you believe it? I couldn't believe they didn't stop when they saw that they were cleansed like I did. See, I saw I was cleansed and I thought I need to go back to the Lord. Well, that stinks already, doesn't it? But he didn't do that. You know what he saw? Just himself before his God. He didn't see anything about anybody else. I would dare say, I don't even think, other than, you know, wanting them to have what he had, I don't think it mattered. What mattered to him was that he was where the Lord was, to give him praise and to thank him, and that his name might be honored and glorified. So again, verse 17 says, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Notice what he says here. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Save this stranger. The Lord was taken by that. The Lord, and by the way, many times he says, you know, when he's impressed by when he sees people of great faith, isn't he? The Lord points it out. When he sees great faith, the Syrophoenician woman comes to mind because she said, yea, Lord, but don't the dogs eat off the children's table when the scraps fall down? And I'm just paraphrasing there. And I want you to see the grace of God here in salvation. Look at verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That word whole there is the word sozo, which means salvation. Did you know that? That Greek word right there, the same Greek word, and I do want you to go over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and I want you to see something, because here's the same word. I'm going to show you something here. Verse 19, I'm sorry, Matthew 1, 21, but I want to read verse 19 again, because it can be read this way. It can be read this way. It says, verse 19, as you're going to Matthew 1, 21, Luke 17, 19 says this, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee saved, has saved you. Your faith has saved you here. And that word salvation means, or to be whole, sozo, means to save. And here's where that same word is used again. Ready? In the word save here. Verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This one leper received something that all the other 9 missed out. Listen, may we not miss out a single thing that the Lord has for each and every one of us. May we take the Lord at His word and seriously and pursue Him as He deserves and as He's worthy. How? With all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. Amen? Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne this morning. Lord, we do thank You for Your word. Lord, for the thoughts that it brings to our hearts and minds. May we truly see how much we truly need You in a great and mighty way. May we not look to ourselves thinking more of ourselves, because without You, we are nothing. We might think more of ourselves and only be fooling ourselves. But Lord, You are our life and our peace. You have come to give us eternal life and to be everything to us. And Lord, that is answered not just by prayer, but by praise that glorifies Your name. We stop and we say, thank You, God. And we call out all the things and the benefits that You have given to each and every one of us. May we not take that for granted. Lord, I am deficient in that. Lord, many times I pray and don't praise enough. And Lord, I want to draw nearer to You in praise and adoration for who You are and who You want to be and who You will one day completely be in my life when I stand before You. May each and every one of us draw nearer to You and call out to You as You are in our midst. And may we not forget You here when we leave this house, but may we seek You on a daily basis. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.